Another one of those nights where the two local teams are in New York City at the same time, playing baseball, trying to win games again. And the weather's a little shaky, but they'll both play. There's storms in the forecast between like 5 and 7 o'clock, which I'm certainly keeping an eye on. I'm going to the Met game tonight. Are you going to the Yankee game again tonight, Sean?
I am not going to the Yankee game.
Lazy. Lazy.
No, well, I can tell you I have boots on the ground at Yankee Stadium already. Chairs out, like tailgating chairs, the whole thing. It's an enormous Aaron Judge bobblehead night.
Oh, damn, that's tonight.
Yes.
King Aaron Judge.
You're right. It is a King Aaron Judge bobblehead, and I have people on the ground that said people have been lined up for hours with chairs outside.
And what is it, first 10,000?
I think it's 10,000, yes.
Yeah, this is a tricky, man.
10,000?
Yeah, this is what the Mets and Yankees do.
40,000 people are going to be there.
Bro, don't make me go on another rant about this.
No, you did last year.
I did last year. Well, for the Yankee fans that are out there, be patient. It's certainly worth it. It's a badass giveaway. It's awesome to have a bobblehead of the king, and the Yankees have a chance to sweep the Minnesota Twins, and 18, the sky is blue.
18,000.
18,000, better.
Okay, that's a little better.
Much better, because now you're talking about half the building.
Yeah.
Basically half the building. They announced about 37 last night. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have a sellout tonight.
Maybe there'll be some kids and be like, yeah, I don't really need it. Or parents will be like, you can have mine.
Oh, I don't think so. People are animals, T. They're animals. Now, a couple of things.
Give it to the kids.
They should. A couple of things before we get back to your calls. The Jets and the Giants had another joint practice today. Should I or anyone out there make a big deal about what we hear from said joint practice?
Not really, unless it's the injury news.
Well, Malik's not practicing again. Is that concerning?
Well, I mean, I think it's because of the intensity of these practices. The last thing you want to do, because Malik is battling a shoulder, I think it was, from a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
And he's had the lingering toe.
Yeah, he's had the toe forever. So the last thing you want to do in a joint practice is go be physical and rough because it's giant jet and then aggravate something. So I don't mind that. I'm talking more about the Sauce Gardner injury thing.
Oh, calf.
With the calf.
Scary, man.
And you know what we think about calves nowadays.
Yep. Oh.
You immediately go to the Achilles. Now, I don't think it's that bad. I think they said mild, but who knows what that even means. But it is concerning because anybody with a calf injury these days, we always tend to think Achilles.
Because it tends to lead to it.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago. So it is concerning, and I think what you got to do if you're the Jets or Giants, like I like guys practicing and playing, and the Jets were certainly intense during practices, they're tackling and all that. If there is any kind of injury, you play it extra cautious.
No, absolutely right, and that's what the preseason, at least these joint practices, you want the intensity, but you don't want the physical domination that happens on a game day. NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
So I keep adding to this because it's absurd. The Yankees won last night. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they can win tonight. It'd be more of a challenge tonight facing Joe Ryan, but they are now 125-44. Against the Minnesota Twins
in their
last 169 games. This is absurd. And we've mentioned this every day, how absurd it is. And it gave me the idea to play a game with the great Tiki Barber.
Okay.
What have I told you? I have a list right in front of me that I put together all by myself.
All right.
With Tiki Barber's career record against every team in the NFL.
Oh, interesting.
Let's see how much Tiki knows about Tiki.
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
First of all, there are three teams you never lost to.
Never lost to.
I am obviously not including the preseason. Mm. This is regular season and postseason. Three teams never beat Tiki Barber. Who are those three teams?
Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers are incorrect.
Ah, when did I lose to the Packers?
Your career record against the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
1-2.
I don't remember the other two.
You're not even close. By the way, every time you're not sure, Sean, you have the chance to steal it since you're the giant historian. So Tiki's already got one wrong. Can you name one of the three teams that Tiki never lost to?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are incorrect.
Don't you remember the day that Eli threw like three interceptions or two interceptions And I went off like, football's not hard. It's not complicated.
That was a Jaguar game?
Yes. We had the best running game in the NFL.
Tiki was 2-2 against the Jaguars. Yes. So again, not even right. close.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think obscure.
I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons are incorrect.
Oh, yeah, I know one.
By the way, before you continue, another team you not only lost to, you have a losing record against.
I don't remember.
2-3 against the Falcons. You're not even close.
I just remember the good games I had against the Falcons.
I know one. Because I know there was an insane win streak of a game that can only be played once every 4 years in Giant football.
Go ahead.
The Jets.
The New York Jets are correct.
Oh.
And the fact you didn't know that makes me smile. Now, you only faced the Jets twice.
You know what that means?
What?
I never cared about the game.
One of them was a walk-off field goal in overtime.
Yes, it was. 31-28.
So now there's no, we only have one.
There are two other teams you never lost to. You have one of them down. It is the New York Jets, 2-0 against the Jets in your career.
Well done, Sean. Well done, Sean.
Thank you.
You know me better than me.
And I'm glad you didn't remember that. That actually makes me feel bad. Actually, maybe you're right. I should feel worse because it means you didn't care.
Yeah.
You didn't care about the Jets.
I didn't care.
All right, the other two teams.
I'm going to say the Chargers.
The Chargers? Incorrect. Your record against the Chargers, 1-1. So, hey, you were close. Right. Would you like me to tell you the two other teams? You guys ready to know?
One's the Bengals.
One of them is not the Cincinnati Bengals. You are 0-1 against the Bengals. They're actually one of the teams Tiki never beat.
We suck, Sean.
I know.
Miami Dolphins?
It is not the Miami Dolphins.
Is it an NFC team?
They are both AFC teams, which makes sense because you don't
see
them as
much. See them all the time, right?
Yeah, put it this way. One of them, without context and people not knowing your age, is one of the most badass things you could tell somebody. You are 3-0 against the Kansas City Chiefs. So
wow.
Without context, you could tell your grandkids, you know, I never lost to the Chiefs.
You know what? That one should have been easy to me. Because obviously right after 9/11, we played them.
Yep.
That was the first game. I remember we beat them. And then the
famous Saturday
the famous
game.
Saturday game where I rushed for 200 and whatever yards.
Yeah.
And Larry Johnson, he had like 190 something yards. It was an awesome running back game.
And who was the Chiefs kicker in that game? Quick.
Don't know.
Lawrence Tynes.
Was it really?
Oh. How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Who was the other one?
Lawrence Tynes is a guy that Sean will openly refer to as LT, and it makes all of us sick.
I do not do that.
You don't do that?
Nope.
You don't do that?
Nope.
You don't do that?
Nope. He's LT for kicks. He's not LT.
You're talking to the wrong person. If you're going to defy me and say you've never referred to Lawrence Tynes as LT?
Never.
Okay. I'll get those tweets in about 5 minutes. Let me finish this segment because I got about 10 of them. The other team that you never lost to were the Cleveland Browns. 2-0.
Don't even remember.
Now, here's where things get dicey. Those are the three teams that you never lost to.
Right.
There are six teams you never beat.
Six teams?
Six teams you never
How
beat.
Many of those are one and done?
Two of them are one and done. The Cincinnati Bengals, 0-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Dolphins, 0-1.
Two teams which I thought I'd beat.
I know, which makes it funny. Then you've got two teams you're 0-2 against, mm-hmm. a team you're 0-3 against, and a team you're 0-4 against. Want to give me some guesses, and I'll let you know?
0-4 Saints.
The New Orleans Saints are incorrect. Mm. You actually were 4-2 against the Saints.
Really?
you were good against them.
It was in New Orleans. They never won.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Want to steal it, Sean?
I believe that Tiki is winless against the Seattle Seahawks.
Incorrect. It was a good guess, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you were 2-2 against the Seattle Seahawks. You were 0-4 against the Tennessee Titans.
Really?
That is true.
That last one should stick out. Kiwanuka not making the tackle.
Ah, yeah. Vince Young. Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, that's right.
Because he thought he was going to get flagged for
it. No, that's right. Because they were starting to protect the quarterback.
Yes.
And so instead of taking him to the ground, he just let him go.
Yeah, that one jumps out at me, too. 0-2 against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, that makes sense.
0-2 against the Detroit Lions.
That makes no sense.
And 0-3 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Of course, obviously.
With one in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking at your career record. What is your record in your career against the Philadelphia Eagles? You faced them 20 times in the regular season, 22 times overall. Go!
14-8.
That's a good guess. 13-9 in your career against the Eagles.
Yeah, the Giants had a long win streak versus the Eagles during the Tiki era.
Career record against the Cowboys. Played them 19 times.
I'm going to say 10-9.
11-8. Not too bad. And finally, the team that screwed you, the Washington, then Redskins, now Commanders, 19 games against Washington.
14-5.
10-8-1. You okay over there?
Really?
Not good.
I was surprised by that.
I am surprised, too. I
feel like we dominated them all the time.
10-8-1.
You should have guessed the tie, though.
Yeah, the tie you should have known.
Yeah, I should have known that because that was Fossil's first year.
And Farrakh banging his head against the wall.
Right.
And finally,
but I still feel like we dominated them.
You really didn't. You did a better job against Philly and Dallas than you did them.
Yeah, it's true.
It's basically the same records, though.
Right, right.
And what is the other team you beat the most besides teams in your division?
Houston Texans?
Arizona Cardinals.
Who were in your division? Obviously.
They were in your division. It's kind of a trick question. So there you go. Another edition of How Much Does Tiki Know About Tiki?
And the answer, How Much Does Tiki Know About Tiki?
It's not a lot.
Not a lot. That's what we've learned. Let's get back to your phone calls. 888-808-1019. Anthony is in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Anthony.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man? Dude?
Well, first off, I just want to make sure that's really Tiki in there. How does he not know any of that stuff?
That's the funny part.
Because I got hit a lot, dude.
I know. You're great, Tiki. I'm a big fan, Tiki.
I appreciate you.
So, first off, I want to talk about Alonzo. We were there last night. Great atmosphere. I loved it. How about Mendoza last night with Clay Holmes? I'm starting to get really nervous with what Mendoza does in these close games. The fact that he let him pitch against Olsen was insane to me. Olsen is the only guy in that lineup that can hit the ball. He gets a hit there. He has a lefty Soto going in the bullpen. What's he waiting for?
Yeah, and what made it worse, and I honestly didn't realize it until I looked it up and instantly tweeted it out because it blew my mind, is that Matt Olson was 1-for-11 in his career against Gregory Soto. So to not use him while warming up was like a derelict of duty. I thought it was a terrible decision by Carlos. I will offer you this before you make your next point. Here's what gives me hope. I think that reeked of managing for the 162 more than managing in the postseason. Like in the playoffs, if Clay ever made a start, which right now he would not, he's pulling him. Like, it's just not happening. That's a long-term kind of managerial move.
Well, I know that. If they were like, you know, 110 in their last 13, I would say fine. But yesterday felt like one of those, like, must wins in, like, a weird part of the year. And, like, the momentum, Alonzo hits that home run. And then Clay Holmes, you want to talk about a momentum killer in baseball. I've never seen one bigger than that.
Right.
And then finally, the Alonzo thing. The one thing I'm going to disagree with you, I mean, I agree with you 100% about Alonzo coming back as far as what they need to do.
Right.
He has shown that he overpaid. I mean, let's be honest. Soto's not worth right now $750 million. Even when he was out there, everyone knew that was at like a very steep price. He was kind of being against himself, maybe one or two teams. Mm-hmm. Like, my point is, you've seen him do it. This is a homegrown guy that's done everything for this organization. Cohen has an ego bigger than probably anyone we've ever seen. I don't think he lets him go because of that fact.
I think that Soto is such a different beast. Mm-hmm. I think that they viewed Juan Soto as so special, so generational, based on the age, the talent, the skill level, all that, that they were willing to go to any corners to get the deal done. I don't think that's the case with Pete. I think they would look at him as a replaceable player, as much as he means to me and a lot of Met fans out there. I think it's just different.
Yeah, but I also think it's saved, meaning he ends up being a Met long-term because he wants to be here, and I don't know how robust the market's going to be.
Yeah, well, that's the key question. I think that's going to determine all of it. Sean Morash, January 10th, 2020, in tweeting at Lawrence Tynes. Haha, LT, tell me I'm wrong.
Tweeting at Lawrence Tynes.
I'm not done yet. November 18, 2022. LT was ahead of this. Now see the Titans. Another example. I mean, you want me to just keep going? Thanks, LT.
Do me a favor.
What?
Read Lawrence Tynes' Twitter handle, please.
No. I'm looking at yours. You refer to the man as LT.
Do you want me? Do I have to call you a dummy? I don't want to call you a dummy.
Tiki, am I a dummy?
I don't think you're a dummy, but I would like to hear out Sean.
Okay. Uh-huh. In person, vocally, I would never, ever, ever refer to somebody who's not LT as LT. On Twitter, his Twitter handle is LT for kicks. To save the 180 characters, we go back and forth. And I had a personal relationship with him where on Twitter, he's LT. LT for kicks. Hey, LT. I'm tweeting at him at his handle.
So
that's why he curved.
Do you accept this excuse, Tiki?
Wait, so are you writing the two letters LT... Or are you just writing his handle?
Well, I am adding him, but I'm referring to him as LT.
He's referring to him as
Twitter
LT.
Handle.
No, he's just referring to him as LT. There's no at in front. It's just simply, hey, LT, you're right. Hey, LT, I agree with you. Mm. Now, his Twitter handle is at LT for kicks, but I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Mm. You're calling him LT.
Right. I think I might be on your side, Evan.
Thank you, T.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you just call him Tynes, which is only three more characters, or Larry?
Or
even.
Just put his handle at LT for kicks.
Again, I had a personal relationship. That's why we were talking about
it.
So when you see him, do you, hey, what's up, LT?
Only on Twitter we would joke with LT for
now, but do you, when you see him in person?
No, it's Lawrence.
This is why do you do it on
Twitter? Yeah, why do you then do it on Twitter? Because his handle is lost.
LT for kicks? Exactly.
Bro, it is, why did we talk about this to begin with? This was while you were away. What was the context of this?
So David Stearns calls Luis Torrens LT.
Thank you. So, Sean, you'd be proud of me. While you're on vacation, there was one part of David Stearns' press conference that jumped out at me. Yeah. I made a passing reference on the RICO, but I brought it here to Evan and Tiki.
Right, called him out.
He called Luis Torrens LT, and I had a problem with that, which I'm sure you'd be proud of as
Good job,
IFO. Tiki obviously agreed with me. He's like, come on, David, you can't be doing that.
He's a Giant fan.
Yeah, he grew up as a Giant fan. So we were very upset with David Stearns. And then, of course, Dan, who basically works for the show, he's a loyal listener who supplies context to everything, showed me tweets of you, Sean Morash, the ultimate Giant fan, referring to Lawrence Tynes, hell of a kicker, but Lawrence Tynes as LT, and we were all aghast by the situation.
And there you have the problem with Dan. It's not his fault. Dan doesn't know the background between me and Lawrence.
Bro,
and that's
no one's going to know the background. You're calling him LT. You can't call him LT.
Do you really want to get into something people don't care about? He would call me by a nickname I had another show because of a Twitter handle.
He
go
could
back
call
forth.
You Dip Leap on as a friendly name. He's not LT.
No kidding, and he knows that. That's part of the wink-wink.
Tiki Barber's a Giant legend. He just said no go. If we got Lawrence Taylor on the phone, he'd throw up listening to this story.
You know what's interesting, though, ironically?
Yeah.
Because I know Lawrence a little bit.
Yeah.
I call him Lawrence.
Yeah, but that's different.
I don't call him LT.
No. I think it's okay. I'm sure he likes it. If I call him Mr. Taylor, I'm sure he'd be thrilled with it. But taking that nickname, which is so iconic, and handing it to anybody else, especially Luis Torrens and Lawrence Tynes, what are we doing? Mm. By the way, speaking of Lawrence Tynes,
LaDainian Tomlinson got a little bit away with
it.
Not really.
I had a huge problem with it. Me and Joe would call him LDT because he's not LT.
By the way, that's better.
I agree. So because of this whole thing, I'm on Lawrence Tynes' Twitter account. You ready for this? He tweeted out the other day. And it's just him repurposing a graphic, but what information. In the last 8 seasons in the NFL,
oh, God.
So sad, the Jets are 41-91, and the Giants are 40-91-1. So in their last 132 games over 8 seasons.
41-91.
Jets are 41-91. Giants are 40-91-1. So the Jets are a half game ahead of the Giants over the last 8 seasons. The Jets 31st in the NFL, win percentage of .311. The Giants dead last, win percentage of .307 over the last 8 seasons.
The Jets suck. The
That's
Giants suck.
Surprisingly close.
It's amazingly close.
It's unbelievably close.
The tie only makes it funny.
Right.
Like, it's better that it...
Now, what
that?
Tie was that? What tie is
the Giants? The Washington game.
That Giants was the Commanders. One we were just talking about?
No, the one recently when the playoff
That's
year.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So, I'm not making
a game
this...
the Giants should have won. So
of course.
They should have been exactly the same.
It should be the same. 91. And I am not... Don't take this as like, oh, Evan's bragging. I am not bragging about the Jets being a half game better. I'm pointing out how pathetic we all are. Like that... And Lawrence Tynes is pointing it out. I am now regurgitating it because it's hilarious that we suck this badly. So, how you guys feel about that? You feel all right?
We're
football
back.
In New York.
What'd you say?
We're back.
I know. Yeah, I know we're back. We're optimistic. We're all optimistic. Instead of just giving us the optimism, can't you just look at that and say, wow, that's bad?
Of course it's bad. I don't think it stuns anybody. These two teams pick in the top 5 every year.
It's not that it's stunning. It's just when you hear it, it's like, what?
I'm just taking how tight it is.
I know.
It's a half a game.
Well,
like, let's have a debate. Who's been better or worse or whatever? I don't know. It's a half a game.
No,
half a game, the Giants should have won.
No.
It's bizarre.
Here's the crazy thing. As an IFO, I will tell you right now, if you ask me, hey, let's have a debate last 8 seasons, who's better or who's worse? The Jets are worse. And to me, it's not even close. I don't care what the record says.
They have the longest playoff drought.
Right. Sean, you don't have to jump in. Mm. I'm going to kill the Jets. You don't have to add to it because it's just going to make people hate you more. Mm. So
people
let me
don't
do
hate
it.
Me. People hate you.
Well, sometimes. But the Jets couldn't even give us like a fart in the wind season. The Giants did.
Right.
The Giants won a playoff game.
A couple of them. Right?
Yeah. I mean, eight seasons. So does that count 16? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. No, it does not.
So we missed them.
We missed it.
Just one then.
It's one fart in the wind season, but at least they gave it to you.
Right.
Like, so you can give me the record all day. Oh, the Jets are a half game better. I don't even think it's close. The Jets have been worse than the Giants. And even the Joe Judge year, the first year, mm-hmm. I know it was the division. You guys had a chance right. to win the division.
There was optimism. At least you felt good.
When did we have optimism? Mm-hmm. When we got Aaron Rodgers and
pre-season.
We talked about it in the offseason?
Preseason. You won the offseason.
And then it went away once he got hurt. He tore the Achilles.
Immediately.
All right. So we all agree that the Jets have been worse?
Yes, even though technically they're half a game better.
No, I know. All right, now you can continue. Because Sean was going to, like, jump in and pile on the Jets. Let me do it first.
No.
People will say, all right, he's a Jet fan. Now you could be a jerk. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up, you cannot possibly compare one to the other when you combine the four big sports in this country and the Jets far and away have the longest playoff drought. That's it. End of discussion.
No, but it's the last eight seasons. So it actually excludes the first few years of the playoff
drought. I understand that. Okay, so how many teams, we'd have to do this, how many teams in the four sports haven't made the playoffs in eight seasons, I bet you that's a very, very short list.
No, it's a very short. I think the Sabres. Would that be the only one?
Probably.
In the last 8 years?
Even just in that eight-year period. Oh. I mean,
everybody makes the NBA playoffs.
What's the longest current baseball drought in terms of missing the playoffs? The Pirates?
The Rockies? Well, they've made it recently, right?
I feel like the Pirates were recent, though.
No, I think the Pirates were 2014.
It's the Angels with 10 years.
Is what year did they make? 2014?
Yeah, right now it says Angels at 10 years, so I guess I'd have to...
And where are the Pirates on this list?
Hold on.
Was it a Coles last year they made it?
I think it was 2014.
2014 ALDS was the Angels' last appearance. Pirates last appeared in the 2015 NL Wild Card.
So a year later.
Yeah. The Rockies are third. We're on six seasons with the Rockies.
So basically in baseball, there's only two baseball teams that in the eight-year period have not made the postseason.
Yes.
Okay. It's pathetic, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just... Like, that number, it's not surprising because we all know that we stink. It's more just like, wow, boy, we stink. That is something else. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll check it on the Met lineup. Carlos Mendoza did something unique today. And the Yankee lineup as well. Can Giancarlo Stanton play the outfield again? He better. We'll have the answer coming up. During the commercial break we were just at, I was doing something that makes me feel very powerful. I was answering a season ticket survey supplied by the New York Jets. And so I got to a question, and I'm kind of tripped up. I need help, Tiki.
Okay, go ahead.
How satisfied are you with the direction the team is heading on the field, i.e. outlook for the next 2 to 3 years? 1, not at all satisfied. 10, being extremely satisfied. And it's a complicated answer because I'm really excited about Aaron Glenn.
Right.
I'm hopeful that this team can be good. But how do I say I'm extremely satisfied? I'm a Jet fan. Like, what the hell have I been satisfied with?
I think you have to say 5. So it's middle.
Got to go middle?
Because you haven't seen a game yet.
Yeah.
You don't know what this season's going to bring. You don't know how good of a coach Aaron Glenn is going to be. Like, we can expect him to be really good because his attitude seems right. His reshaping of the, I don't know, messaging out of this organization feels so much better. But they haven't played a game.
Right. How could I say anything high? Right.
I actually think a 5 makes them pay attention more.
You think so?
Because I think if you gave a 1 or 2, it's just like, here's another lunatic that's always unhappy.
Just hating because they hate. He's self-loathing.
Right. And if you give them a 9 or 10, even they're not going to be realistic. Oh, look, these guys are buying in. I think a 5 sends a message. Where it's like, all right.
Wow. I just put in a 5, which it leads to the next question. How likely are you to renew your season tickets for the 2026 season? I'm going to keep it at a 5. I got to keep them on. Oh, now they got like a million questions.
That's the problem with those things.
I know.
They suck you in with 1 or 2, and you're like, yeah, I can do this. It'll only take me a couple minutes. And then there's 30 questions.
I mean, one of the questions is, what is your satisfaction level on the sense that you're valued by the organization, blah. But here's the one I love. Team performance in 2024. How do I not put a 1?
You gotta
satisfied.
You got to be a 1.
That's a 1.
I mean, they fired the coach after four games.
Yeah, and the season
Five games or whatever it was.
And the season was non-competitive by the end of it. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I like surveys. It makes me feel like, you know, I have some say. The Mets lineup and the Yankees lineup are both out. Are you pleased, Sean Morash, with the New York Yankees lineup before I announce it to the world?
I am. I shockingly am. Yes, I am.
It does feature Giancarlo Stanton playing right field again.
Which is why I'm pleased.
Yeah, you got to be pleased. He's got to be in the lineup. And he's got to play right field. He's fine in right field. And I told you guys that last week. Sean argued with me.
Well, I thought he'd get hurt, and I thought maybe it would lead to something and hurt. The only negative to playing him in the outfield, which is where I'd sway, but you have to play him. He's red hot. They're never going to play him and the Martian in the outfield the same night.
Dominguez is losing playing time right
now. Yes, which I don't like, but how can you sit Stanton's bat right now?
Yeah, I think unfortunately for the Martian, what Aaron Boone needs to do, Teak, is play the best players so that he wins games.
Well, and right now, he doesn't have the luxury of a cushion and just saying, all right, we can develop you. We can give you some extra.
That time's over, bro.
You gotta play to win.
And right now, Trent Grisham has been money all year, should play center field. And yes, Cody Bellinger should play left. It's just what makes the most sense. So here's the rest of the lineup against Joe Ryan with Cam Schlittler on the mound. Grisham, Judge DH, Bellinger in left. Mm-hmm. Giancarlo in right. Ben Rice at first base today. Jazz Chisholm at second. Volpe at short. McMahon at third. And Austin Wells back in the lineup behind the plate.
The only thing I'm stunned by a little bit, I thought for sure by now we were going to get some news on Paul Goldschmidt heading to the IL. He looked like he was really limp running the bases yesterday on two occasions.
Yeah.
And then in the eighth inning, the Yankees went...
Did they announce what it was at all?
No, like I heard nothing on the postgame show, but you could see him grabbing almost like at his hamstrings both times. Yeah. I felt like it never came up. And then they went late. Now you would think for defense, he'd stay in the game. They moved Ben Rice to first base for defense for the last two innings and put J.C. Ascara in the game, which I thought was interesting. Now you're going to take him out in a blowout, but nothing injury-wise?
So Boone hasn't spoken to the media yet. We'll see if he does address that or if it's just the case of Paul Goldschmidt being old, which is on the table. Yeah.
But wouldn't he be the better option defensively? 100%.
No, no, no. It's
up. That was where it went. My antenna went up.
No, there was something up.
But it was also, the game wasn't close. So
true. I understand, but that paired with just watching, when I was in the park watching, I didn't know if the TV talked about it. It looked like, you know, something was up with the way he was rounding the bases.
The antenna was up last night. Like, doesn't mean he's definitely hurt, but there was certainly enough evidence to think, is Paul Goldschmidt okay? And as of right now, I guess it seems like he is because they haven't said anything. So that's a good sign. They took him out in the eighth inning. So at that point, it was 8-1.
Yeah. But he had just come off the bases holding his hammy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. Well, we'll see what Aaron Boone has to say. We'll keep you posted as the Yankees look to sweep the Minnesota Twins. The sky is blue. You have to pay your taxes. And the Yankees beat the Twins all the time. Larry is calling from Medford. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Evan, I'm the one who called last week. Did you score that game at the barbecue?
I decided not to. It was a big debate around here, Teak. Would I score this Met game at a barbecue?
I'm a loser.
And I actually did not. I watched the game like a normal human. Are you proud of me or disgusted by me?
I am very proud of you. I would invite you back to my house again.
You know what was weird about it, Larry? So I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game, and my wife brings it up to the couple. You know, Evan was talking on the air about scoring the game. And she's like, not my wife,
like
the host.
In a disgusting way?
No.
Or in a, like, hey, this is curious. We should have a conversation about this
more way? More like she was bragging about the adorability of her husband, which shows why we get along so well. She thinks I'm cute.
Hey.
And the host says, where's your scorebook, Evan? Go get it. Come on, of course you could score the game here. And at this point, it's the fourth inning. I'm like, nah, it's the fourth inning. I'm good.
It's going to be too hard to catch up.
I can't catch up.
Can somebody send me the first four innings of the
Can you imagine
that? Copy it.
Can I imagine that? Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Hey, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. Evan, I got an Alonzo point, but I wanted to say one thing. Your Rico yesterday, I love that. With you driving home, please be careful, always.
But I am always careful. I put out the way I do it, because my boss even came up to me and said, hey, you know, it's, you got to be careful. I said, I always set everything up before I leave City Field. And then it's like I'm just talking on the phone the way we all do, where you're hands free.
Yeah. Where is the camera?
It's on I just put my phone on my dash, but I keep it there anyway.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's just where it sits.
I don't know if you, have you guys seen the new Naked Gun film? There's a sequence in the film where he's filming himself in the car. Just make sure it doesn't get to that level, because the sequence is hysterical in the film.
When does the Naked Gun come out?
It had a second one. When is it? Where is it?
Did it come out? Yeah, it came out on August 1st.
Wow. Like, no buzz.
What do you mean, no buzz? No, I think there is a lot of buzz. I heard it's getting great reviews. Like Rotten Tomatoes, 83%, which is very high.
That's Liam.
Liam Neeson, and Pam Anderson. Well, the buzz is that people think they're dating, which has created a lot of buzz for the movie.
No, but I hear great reviews about the movie.
You know what's funny? I have not heard anything about the movie. The only thing I've heard is that they're dating.
Exactly. Me too.
That's funny.
I don't think I've talked to a single person who's seen it.
I don't think I have either. You know, it came out on August 1st, and I just asked Chris when it came out. I should have known because I was driving a week ago past a drive-in movie theater, which I love. And you ready for this? It said, we're showing The Naked Gun, and it said, special guest, Liam Neeson. And I was like, what? They got Liam Neeson to show up to the drive-in theater.
Did they they were showing the second one or the first one?
No, they were showing the new one that came out.
Oh, dude.
And Liam was the special guest. And I said this to my wife. I was like, how badass is that?
That is pretty awesome if he actually was there.
That's what it said.
But you didn't go, so you didn't see him.
Okay, so for anyone listening.
Dude, how do you not go to the drive-in movie all the time?
Because unfortunately, it's not close. Like where I was driving was very far away from where I live.
Close to it.
I was visiting my parents at the time, so I couldn't stop. But I am sure there's somebody in the audience because this was upstate New York. Like it wasn't like it was in California.
I have a story written on it.
So, okay, confirm it happened. Go ahead.
Okay. Actor Liam Neeson, it was near the Four Brothers Drive-In.
Four Brothers Drive-In. That's the place. Mm-hmm. Awesome drive-in. Yes.
For a double screening on August 4th. Second?
And that's when I visited my parents, yes.
And on a border of New York and Connecticut, and he had a big crowd show up for him.
Off Route 22, because it's on Route 22.
What a promo.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm just talking about for the drive-in theater.
I know.
Like, how many people hadn't been in forever? And they're like, oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I love Naked Gun. Well, at least you love the first one. Who knows what the second one was actually like. But Liam Neeson's a star.
That's pretty good.
That's awesome.
And the only reason I saw it is because I was literally driving past Four Brothers. I forgot the name, but I drive past it anytime I visit my parents off Route 22. And I saw it. I was like, Liam Neeson is there?
$75 and you got a gift bag and you got to see The Naked Gun followed by The Fantastic Four.
Yeah. The double features are a big part of the drive-in movie community. So I know of three drive-in movie theaters reasonably close to our area. The one you just mentioned, Four Brothers, which is in what town?
I just lost. It was in Dutchess County, but it says the New York Connecticut border.
Yeah, it's right up there off Route 22.
Is Amenia a town?
Amenia, that's
it. So apparently Liam Neeson lives in Amenia.
Well, that's why he did it then.
Of course, it makes
some complete sense. The other one I'm aware of is the one in Warwick. That's the one I go to when I go to a movie theater, a drive-in movie theater, Warwick, New York, where Big Mac lives.
Right.
And then there's another one, I think, in New Hyde Park. Or Hyde Park.
I think we did this, but we had this conversation before because I wanted to know if there were any in Jersey.
Are there?
And I don't think there are any.
I don't think there are any. Dude, I think those are the three that are at least reasonably close to our New York City vicinity.
Definitely not New Hyde Park. There are none left on Long Island.
It's Hyde Park. It's where the FDR stuff is.
The expressway?
No, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Presidential Library.
Oh, got that.
Yeah, there's a big museum up there. And there's a drive-in movie theater like across the street.
There is one in Vinland.
Where the hell is that?
I'm not even sure.
Is Vinland a real place?
Yeah, it is.
We sure about that?
Yeah.
Is that
an hour and a half away from here?
Is that New York, New Jersey, or Philly, New Jersey? You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Because that part of Jersey doesn't count. That's Philly, New Jersey. It's where Spike Eskin lives. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. Hey, Ray.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Listen, I would ask you how you guys are doing, but there are two reasons why I won't. If you guys don't want to hear that question. And secondly, Evan, I'm going to have some fun at your expense, and you can have fun on my expense. That's fine. I think we have that type of relationship. I know how you're doing. You must be tripping over something. I'm going to need Tinky to look over to the side and make sure that you're not leaking blood from your nose like your buddy Matt Harvey. Because apparently you are enjoying yourself far too much. Because you mentioned earlier, Evan, that the Yank, I know you're upset and you get emotional when Mike Francesa talks about, you know, the no-hitter, non-no-hitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only reason why I'm pointing it out when it comes to you is because I respect you the same way you pointed it out for Mike. You respect him. So you said that the Yankees, your words, verbatim, don't win that series if not for Jeffrey Mayer. Need I remind you that game number one...
Changes the entire trajectory of that series. Absolutely.
Okay, so the Yankees don't win the next three.
I don't know that.
3-1. You know that for a fact. Right, but you said definitively they would lose. That's my issue. And then the other thing is, okay, go ahead.
Do you know for a fact that the series ends the same way? Like, how do you know? It changed the entire trajectory of that series.
I'm not speaking speaking in definitive terms, you did. That's why I had a little bit of an issue. Not a big issue, Evan. Not at all. But here's the other thing. With Pete Alonso, you said that most Mets fans wanted him back. The Boricua champion, Al Cintron, the people who stand for Boricua, right? And C-Mac and Keith can all attest that I'm one of the only Yankee fans who were calling up defending Pete Alonso because so many of the Mets fans had turned on him because they are more loyal to the new ownership than to Pete Alonso.
Oh, no, that part, Ray, that part I agree with. Like a lot of, and I think that's what I was saying, that a lot of Mets fans turned on him. A lot of Mets fans did not want him back.
They were okay if he left.
Yes, including Al. I fought with Al about it. I don't think he showed any love for Pete Alonso. Sal didn't show any love for Pete Alonso. Plenty of Mets fans. I mean, most Mets fans were either on the fence about it or, like, Loogie is an example where he likes Pete, but he couldn't wait to trade him in for the shinier, newer model named Vlad Guerrero
Jr. That's not accurate. You like to make that your story, and that is the real story?
That is the story.
No.
Yes.
No, I said Vlad Jr. and Pete Alonso.
Nah.
And you twisted that into, you're not a Pete Alonso guy.
You're not.
Why? I said Alonso would be the DH and Vlad would be the...
You
were
replacing Pete younger
I was adding. We were bringing in another person to stay with us. Let's just throw it that
way. Let me ask you a question.
It's 2025.
Have you said on the air that you would throw your wife to the curb for Sydney Sweeney?
Well, I would say don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. I would book her a one-way trip somewhere. Okay. Very nice. Yeah.
I rest my case. This Why? Is his,
well, wait,
that's the personality of Tommy.
Oh, yeah. He's just ready to cast them off.
Yes.
No, but if Sydney said, hey, I'm cool if your wife sticks around, then we have a party. So I assume if Alonso wanted to stay and be the DH, I think it boiled down to more that Pete wants to be the first baseman here and that Vlad would be. Does that make sense?
Vlad would be the DH.
I don't think Vlad's a DH, though, at this age. So it was a matter of unavailability at first base, but I wanted both guys on the team.
Very disloyal. Mm. And a lot of Mets fans were. And this offseason may be different. Like, here's the beauty of sports. Things change.
Right.
And so based on that change, you certainly have a right to come on the radio, whether as a caller or as a host, and say, hey, my view on this has changed. I want Pete back. Or I don't want Pete back. Like, I'm open to that. I put the Mets first. I am a Met fan first more than I am a fan of the individual player.
But Pete Alonso makes the Mets better.
Correct. The moment that's not true will be the moment I say, look, hate to be a jerk, they're better off moving on.
6 years from now when he has 435 home runs and he's trying to make the run to 500.
Yeah.
That's when he won't make the Mets better.
Absolutely.
So sign him.
I'm having an argument
with
on DM with a gentleman who I do respect. We played baseball together in fan baseball. And I'm going to read you what he wrote and what I wrote. And I want you to decide who's on the right side of this.
I get to be the arbiter. Let's
see. Pete. That's his name. Not Pete Hoffman. Mm-hmm. He writes.
And not Pete Alonso either.
DeGrom was injury prone. The Mets were right to move on. The Rangers offer was absurd.
Pete's right.
To which I said, yeah, the Mets couldn't use Jake at all now, right? LOL.
You're also right.
I'm also right. So here's his retort. Evan, use your brain. I love when someone starts with that. Evan, use your brain. If the Mets signed DeGrom, they don't make the playoffs last year, let alone the NLCS. Manaea is probably not signed, or Severino.
This is very true.
DeGrom made $70 million between 22 and 23 and pitched 40 innings. That's a ton of dead money. I kind of disagree with that. Can I tell you why?
Why? You think he stays healthy if he's here?
No. I'm not rewriting history at all. I'm going to assume that, to Pete's point, the beginning of the DeGrom contract's a disaster. He gets hurt in 2023, same year the Mets were a disaster anyway. Mm-hmm. No harm, no foul, they suck.
And the Arizona Diamondbacks win the World Series.
Yeah, no, everything's the same because the Mets still, they don't sign Verlander.
Right.
They don't turn Verlander into Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford, sure, right. And DeGrom's just here. Last year, I think that they still would try to improve the pitching without relying on Jake. So while it may not be Manaea and Severino specifically, I still think they're trying to improve their staff with an eye on, hey, maybe DeGrom could help us in the second half. And then he did come back in the second half of Texas. They weren't in it. The Mets were.
Right. Do you think they also can sign Juan Soto?
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Because DeGrom's contract's going to run out in 2 years. It's not a contract forever.
Yeah.
So who do you side with, Pete or me? We both made really good points.
Yeah, you did.
Convoluted, but good points.
Only because you sit next to me every day. I'll side with you.
Just imagine a world where DeGrom was on this in this rotation right now. That's how I win.
I mean, it's the only way you win. Well, because of what's, I don't know, the struggle right now is starting pitching.
Well, and also, when
there's no easy answer for it.
No, you're right. And the other thing that's so weird about contracts is, like, whenever you sign a free agent, whether it's your own or specifically somebody else, we always say, if 60% of the contract is good, it's worth it. Like, right. Look at Beltran's contract. Like, he wasn't great every year, but he was great most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so DeGrom's doing something weird in which the beginning of his five-year contract is a disaster, but right now in the middle...
It didn't matter, though, because they still won.
It didn't matter for them, right? You're right. But now in year three of what was an absurd contract, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Mm-hmm. So usually, like, if I told you, hey, you're going to give a pitcher a five-year deal and three of the years are going to be good and two of them he's going to miss time, you'd say, you know what? I'd probably sign for it. What's weird about DeGrom, and we'll see what he does next year and the year after, is it's looking like the back end may be good.
Right.
After the first end was a disaster.
But it wasn't a disaster because they won a World Series.
Correct. They overcame it.
Yes.
But the contract was a disaster.
Tiki, I'm just going to give you a heads up. Yeah. You and I are going to have to do God's work on Friday, September 12th, getting Evan to think and talk about football if that's the weekend with Jacob DeGrom coming into Citi Field.
You think I'm going to lose my mind?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to break down the Giants or Jets at all that day.
You think so?
You're acting like this now about DeGrom. Then you get to the actual time of him coming back.
But don't you think I've proven as a host I can double fist? Like, I can be concerned with multiple things at the same time. Like, remember last year when the Jets had a huge game and the Mets are playing an NLCS game? Same thing with you guys. When the Giants were playing and the Yankees were playing. Like, I have an ability, I think we all do, I'm not unique to this, where we can greatly care about two things at the same time. Are you not able to do that?
Yeah, of course you can.
So then what? You don't think I can?
It's a sign of first-rate intelligence.
Yeah.
And he has it.
Okay. Yeah, no, you've done a great job with that.
By the way, Tommy, he's talking about drinks. Drinks.
Yeah, I got drinks. There after about 30 seconds.
But he
seconds.
Doesn't drink anymore.
Yeah.
But drinks.
Yeah, what are you guys talking about?
Well, my brain's got to go through all the machinations.
He did talk about Sidney Sweeney earlier.
He was stuck for a second.
I got there at the end.
I think that every September, more so for you guys as Yankee fans than Met fans, recently for Met fans, we all have to double fist our emotions because you've got a football team that isn't buried yet, so we're really all glued into it. And a baseball team that, if they're good, are in a pennant race. So I think we're all used to that. Basketball, too, when the Nets used to be good. A lot of double fisting then. Speaking of basketball, can they leak a freaking Nets game for me? I got all these damn Knicks games. I need a Nets game. And one other thing I do want to bring up in the 5 o'clock hour, speaking of the NBA, do not worry, it's not Nets related. Why is the NBA forcing Knicks-Cavs down our throats? We'll address that coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, plus more of your calls on the Mets, the Yankees, and anything else on your mind.